Support for To The Point comes from Bausch & Lomb.
I can't take my eyes off my eyes.
My go-to is Lumify Eye Drops.
Lumify dramatically reduces redness.
In 1 minute.
And look at the difference.
My eyes look brighter and whiter.
For up to 8 hours.
It was love at first sight.
With Lumify. See for yourself.
As much as we've learned about ocular surface disease, there is still so much yet to be discovered. The good news is, this creates a world of opportunity for eye care providers.
The goal of this podcast is to better understand this chronic and complex condition and keep you up to date on the advances being made in its diagnosis and treatment. So let's get to the point. Welcome to another episode of the To The Point podcast. My name is Jackie Garlick, and I am joined by my co-host, Jesselyn Quint. Hi, Jesselyn. How are you?
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How was your week? How's your week going, I should say? We're in the middle.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. You know, just another day seeing patients. I feel like the last couple weeks have been especially exciting because I wrote my first few prescriptions for Vevye, which is awesome. Ooh, I love new innovative things. Still too early to have the patient back, so I don't have any like clinical testimonial yet, but yeah, fun. So
wait, yeah, that's so, and you prescribe that where? Where do you prescribe that?
Yeah, so you can get it two ways. So PhilRx is, you know, like the mail order to send it to, or if you send it to a local pharmacy, just make sure you pull a coupon code card off of their website. I don't have a Haro rep for my practice, so I just, even to get samples, just went on to like the Vevye website, requested samples, and then that's where I learned about the coupon card for the patients. But it's been pretty easy so far. Remember, it's BID dosing, 0.1% cyclosporin with a semi-fluorinated alkane. Although something I think worth noting is that when Vevye first rolled out, I was thinking that it was kind of like cyclosporin with the ingredient in Mibo. And after researching it a little bit more, I was very wrong. So it has a semi-fluorinated alkane, but it's a little bit different. And so it changes the evaporation time. So really, Vevye is just an immunomodulator. It has nothing to do with evaporation. And so I think that's something that like I was misled on in my own brain. I kind of probably created this rainbows and unicorns. But Mibo is the perfluoral hexyl octane, versus Vevye has the perfluoral butyl pentane. And so that difference in the carbons changes the evaporation rate. So within like an hour, Vevye will evaporate off, versus with Mibo, the different molecule will last longer. So more than we needed to discuss about Vevye, but yeah, I feel like I learned a lot.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I haven't prescribed it yet. So this is, it's good to hear that, that you've tried it out, and I'm curious to see how your patients do on it. So, you know who we should ask about this? Our guest.
Yes. Our guest. We have an amazing guest.
We do have a whopper of a guest. Who do we have, Jesselyn? Tell the listeners.
We have Dr. Ada No, who is a total dry eye goddess, and she has a dry eye practice. A practice that opened up in 2022 that only does dry eye. So no comprehensive eye care, no glasses, no contact lenses. She is just rocking this whole dry eye world. And her practice is in Little Rock, Arkansas. And her practice name is like my favorite part. Her practice name is No Eyes Left Behind, but her name, her last name is spelled N-O-H. And so it's just like, it's so cute. It's like, so it's perfect.
And it's perfect because you're in Little Rock, which is near the Air Force base that I was at. Like, no eyes left behind? No soldier left behind? No?
That's
what I thought when I read it. No?
Well, most people, Ada, don't even really know where Little Rock is or Arkansas is. Like, when I moved, they're like, well, where is that? I moved from Philadelphia. So I went to PCO, and then I graduated 2015, practiced there, I don't know, 7 years. And then I relocated to Little Rock to be closer to my little sister. So when we were growing up, we were supposed to open up practices in the same building, and I'm no eyes and she's no teeth because she's a dentist. I always give her a hard time because I'm like, well, I held up my part of the bargain. I'm waiting for you.
Oh my
my gosh, that's so
this has
cute.
To happen at some point. This has to happen.
All right, I'm gonna send her this podcast to make sure she knows.
Yeah, she's got some accountability now.
Ada, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. We have questions, a lot of them. And I am like so, I'm so proud of you for opening this practice that is a dry eye specialty practice. That is a challenge. And I think I'm so interested in that. I mean, for people that really like treating dry eye, how amazing would it be just to be treating dry eye all day long? I find that very interesting and awesome. And you've done this. You have no comprehensive primary care services in your practice. Do you even have a phoropter? Like, no. What's going on there? You don't even have a phoropter. Oh man.
No. And I don't have like a traditional, you know, exam chair either. So, so many people ask me like, where did this idea come from? Or like, how did you do this? And my honest answer is that I fell out of love with optometry. I was so burned out. I was working like crazy, extra jobs, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I call it my quarter life crisis. I was like, oh my gosh, like I went to all this school and I actually hate what I'm doing. So
what did you hate? What were you hating about it? I have this little bit of a similar story, but this isn't about me. What did you not like about optometry?
I just think that it's boring. Like I was like, all I'm doing every day is listening to people complain about things. And I was in a decently medical practice too, but like that just doesn't intrigue me. And I was like, it's mundane, it's boring. I actually don't like what I do every day.
I think so many of our listeners definitely identify that. And I feel like that is a common thing that I hear how people get interested in dry eye is that. And that's the beauty of optometry. You can do all these different specialties. You can kind of, you know, wax and wane. There's so many different opportunities. So good for you. Sure. That's awesome.
Thank you.
You have this passion. From burnout.
Yeah, from burnout. And I was just like, well, this is crazy. So this can either be a great idea or a terrible idea. But I was like, you're not going to know unless you try. So I was like, if I fail, you know, people can do it way better than I did. I moved to a new city halfway across the country. I did not know a single other optometrist here. I had no network. Like everybody else can do it way smarter than I did it. But it was honestly, in my head, it was like about living life without regrets, right? Like you can either try it or you're always going to think about it. And I just literally couldn't fathom the idea of continuing to go to primary care office for 30 more years of practice. Like that was not going to be it for me. So there was a lot of close your eyes and sign moments. And then I was like, all right, we're doing it.
So you open this practice and then you have to start like recruiting these dry eye patients, right? So how, and you obviously like, it's not like you were practicing, you know, in this city before where you had this kind of natural, probably automatic referral base. So what did that look like?
So I was doing a fill-in jobs around. And honestly, I posted in like local Facebook forums. There's like women empowerment groups. So like any networking event I would go to, I made a list of all optometry offices in the area and I went door to door. I went to any kind of doctor's offices, like dentists because they see Sjogren's patients. So not just like primary care. I went to gynecology offices because they see predominantly women, postmenopausal women, things like that. So it really was just like boots on the ground, put your head down and work because this is going to take some time. And it was slow. It was very slow, you know, in the beginning. But I've only been open for a year and a half, and it's just crazy how much growth it's been. And I'm so humbled and so thankful for where I'm at today and hope to continue to grow.
I'm sure you will. I have a question about these, you know, you walking in and going into all these different specialty offices. Number one, were the local optometrists receptive to you saying, hey, I'll take your dry eye people if you don't want them? I don't even have a phoropter. I'm not going to sell them glasses or contacts. Like, was that a welcoming sort of thing? And same thing with even like all these other offices, these other specialties that you're visiting. Was everyone sort of like, who are you? What are you doing? Or were people like, oh, great, I have a person now to send this to?
A little bit of both. I think initially it was kind of like Stonewall's. Arkansas is like really small. So a lot of people, you know, they've all known each other for a long time. Random people from other states don't move here, you know? So I think people were a little confused at first, but you know, I showed up any kind of like event that I was able to attend that was optometry related. Like I came and I went, and that like slowly was building network and trust. And now I have doctors that I've never even met before. And like, you know, once a month, twice a month, new doctors are referring to me that I don't even know how they know I exist. But it's fostering those relationships, you know, being available. And then, of course, they're always seeing their patient back because I'm not taking over their primary care.
Yeah. And I think putting yourself out there too, like sometimes going and doing that can be a little bit intimidating or outside of a lot of our, you know, comfort zones. But if it's your dream, you just have to do it. I really do firmly believe that if it is your dream, you just keep the course and like eventually it'll happen. You know, it'll find a way to kind of manifest how you want it to manifest.
That's for sure. Awesome. And I think like initially, you know, you're scared. And I was like, send emails. I think I sent hundreds of emails. Did I get a single one? No, zero. That's not going to work. You got to show face. Like I would just show up and be like, hi, I'm new here. And I started practice. Does the doctor have any time to talk? Can I schedule a time to talk? Like I was like, not that's taking good. No for an answer.
Yeah.
Good old networking, you know, that's how you start it. So when you started your clinic, and obviously you're probably like you were looking at what equipment to bring in, whether diagnostics or even treatment options, like how did that process go? Because opening a new practice is expensive in and of itself, and dry equipment isn't cheap, you know?
Yes, I'm aware. again, this was another instance that I just like really did it wrong. Like I actually had temperature at my previous practice that we were not even, this was before radio frequency was even used for dry eye. Like we literally brought it in for aesthetics because we had LipiFlow there. And then like when I was leaving, my partner at the time was like, I don't really want this. And I was like, okay, I'll take it. Like I was the one who brought it to bring it in. So like, I guess I'll just take it with me. And this is when I was moving halfway across the country. Like didn't even know like what I was going to be doing, but I was like, I don't know if it's blind faith in myself. It's just like, if no one's going to believe in you except for you.
Did you just pack this thing up and ship it? This alone would make me not want to do it. Like the shipping and the packing of it. I would be like, I probably would have put it
in my car. When we moved clinics with our IPL, I seatbelted that baby in and was like riding with it to make sure it wasn't damaged.
Well, the plot gets even thicker because I also bought my IPL before I moved. Like I literally was just like buying this equipment and for months I'm paying on this equipment and I don't even have a clinic.
Yeah.
So yes, the temperature and the IPL were in my car with me as we drove down and I have pictures from the hotel and I told my husband, I said, in 5 years, we're going to look back on this picture and we're going to laugh at where we came from.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. So you have the temperature, you've got IPL. Okay. What do you think? Okay. And then you found your space, were you like, I need so much space? Like, how did you even find where you were going to set up shop?
I'm telling you guys, I did this all wrong.
This is so useful, honestly, for listeners, I think, to hear like, nobody does it right. Nobody does it right the first time.
Right.
You got to do these like missteps to get where you're going. So this is very helpful.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship is a learning curve. You know, you do 90 things incorrectly and then you just tell others, don't do it how I did it, right?
That's right.
You did it. You took the first step, which is miles ahead of everybody else. Right.
So I had originally thought about opening in Philly before we had moved. And I was like chickening out and I was finding excuses. And my husband was like, he was a great sounding board because he was like, you were never going to sign, no matter where you looked at, you were going to find something wrong with that space. So I took his feedback and then I went one day and I saw three spaces and I told myself, I was like, you're picking one of these spaces today because this is not going to be the reason why you don't start. Like you've literally been 7 months in Little Rock and you don't have, like you're doing it. So I went to see three places. I picked one and closed my eyes and signed.
Support for To The Point comes from Bausch & Lomb.
I can't take my eyes off my eyes.
My go-to is Lumify Eye Drops.
Lumify dramatically reduces redness.
In 1 minute.
And look at the difference.
My eyes look brighter and whiter
for up to 8 hours.
It was love at first sight.
With Lumify, see for yourself.
You know what?
And
that's how it starts.
Because I...
Blind faith.
I didn't know how busy I was going to be. You know, I didn't know. The reason why I picked this space was because it actually used to be a gynecology office. So there was like the build out was like kind like I could make it work. So because I had spent so much money on my equipment, I was like, I have like no money. I don't have money for a build out. So I didn't do anything to that. I took it as it was. And like that's still the space that I'm using now.
So, okay, speaking of like how busy you were, how busy were you? Because a lot of times a cold start, you're not working 5 days a week, like you're not busy enough for 5 days a week. So what did you do? How busy were you? Did you work somewhere else or were you just networking this whole time?
So I was still working at a LASIK place like 1 day a week. And then I was opening my clinic 3 days a week. But in the beginning, I maybe was seeing like two patients a week, maybe for a little while. But and for the first probably 6 to 9 months, like it was slow. Like, and if, especially if a patient doesn't convert, then it's like, okay, well then I guess I just have to hope and wait for the next person to come around, you know? So, also a thing that I did was like, I didn't hire any staff. I took all the phone calls and everything by myself. Because I just didn't have I knew I wasn't going to have the volume for that.
That's good though. Cause I think sometimes there's this pressure that when you are starting cold, you have to have all the bells and whistles. You have to have it all figured out. You have to have like a lot of people on staff. And that's not the reality, right? You kind of grow into that. So right now, have you hired any staff or still?
Yeah, I have one. I hired 1 year into practice. So she actually just works part time. So about 30 hours a week or so. So I still do some shifts a couple hours by myself. But obviously, because of the way that I practice, like I only see about 6 to 7 patients in a day. So I can manage.
Your patients probably really like that.
Yeah. Is it like an hour long exam? Like how are you? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So my new patient evals, I only take one a day because I allot an hour and a half for it. And I literally have been doing it for 1.5 years. I cannot get it less than that. Like by the time I really fully explain, I can't do it. Maybe somebody needs to help me on that. I can't get it under an hour and a half. And then for treatment sessions, you know, I block an hour for each. So yes, my patients are spoiled, but I also feel like it's the time that they really have deserved for their whole looking for someone to help them. And they finally are getting the time even just to listen.
Yeah. Is there something that you brought in technology or otherwise that you wish that you hadn't, or you feel like I didn't actually really need to do that in the beginning?
Temperature.
Is it temperature?
Mm-hmm. I use it, but it's just like very IPL I use all the, you know, that's my workhorse. And then I use temperature, but there could have been different ways that I could have done like thermal that was less expensive, at least to start with. So if I would go back, it's not that I wouldn't add it later, but that's not what I would have started with.
So, okay, I looked up your website, which is great. And your Instagram is also really great. So where can people find you if they want to find you on social? What is your?
My Instagram handle is no_eyes, EYES.
Okay. So your Instagram is great. Okay. I have a question because I noticed this on your website is that you do autologous serum in your practice,
which I
don't think is that common for that to be happening, but you are a dry only practice. So it makes sense that you do it. What was the process of offering that in your practice? Do you find that was easier for you to just offer it versus going through like a Vital Tears or some other platform or a local pharmacy to get it?
All right. Everyone who's listening, the lesson is believe in yourself. Okay. So I was new in Arkansas and it was like gray area. Like, can we do it? Can we not? Phlebotomy depends on the state on who can do it or not, or if it's regulated. So in Arkansas, it is not regulated, but I had inquired to the board, like, hey, as an optometrist, am I allowed to do this? So to prepare for that, I actually took this like 100-hour phlebotomy course like ahead of time so that I was already certified. And I was like, I don't want to ask them. I just want to be like, I already took it. Like, I'm ready. I can do this. So again, new to the state, and I really made an impact because I was like causing drama from, you know, a couple months in. But so then the board eventually took a couple months, but like approved it. So I guess part of it was because vital tears and things are extremely expensive. I don't know, in my opinion. I charge for a 6 month supply, I charge $350. So not inexpensive, but way less than vital tears is. And just, it was just such a process. And I didn't really know, like, what are we getting? Can I change it? I just like to have a little bit more control over it. There were some pharmacies that were offering it locally, but it was a pain in the butt for the patient. You know, Arkansas is a rural state, so people might drive 2 hours one way to get there, and then they can't get it that same day. So it was just, you know, so many barriers for the patient. So I was like, well, let me see if we can do it.
That's awesome.
Have you found that like other offices have sent patients to you, even just for autologous serum? So you're even doing that. And then, but that's like a little, is that pretty labor intensive to do this in your own office? And like, do you make, set out time to do that for a patient? You take appointments for people that want to come in and do it?
Yeah. So I do have some places that refer to me just for autologous serum, and I don't do an exam on them. You know, if the doctor's sending in the order, that's what I'm going to make, whatever percent they order. So one of the benefits of my office is it's in a medical building. So there's actually a phlebotomy lab there. The woman that I hired, she's also an MA, so she can do blood draws as well. So we do take appointments, but we have a lot of flexibility, like when we can take those. And then she also can help formulate them now. So it's not too, you know, she kind of can set everything up for me, and I might only need 10, 15 minutes to finish the whole process.
That's really interesting. I think that's good. I know here in Maine, access to serum tears is like near impossible. So I think the fact that you're bringing even just that resource to your state is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And nice that you're in the medical building, right? Because then you can use those resources. That's like, I feel like a really smart entrepreneurship is like figuring what resources are around you and how you can kind of tap into that to have a little business advantage. That's good. That's good. Well, any kind of last things before we move into our LifeLens segment, but like any like words of wisdom or piece of advice that you would give to somebody wanting to, you know, start a dry eye practice just how you did it. I think just hearing your story is super inspiring. Like I'm leaving feeling motivated just by talking to you.
Thank you. Number one is believe in yourself. Number two, there's going to be ups and downs. And number three, you're going to throw 100 darts. And if one of them sticks, it was worth throwing 100.
Perfect. I feel like that should be on a t-shirt.
I know, right? Yeah.
I have to tell myself these things every day too.
I like it. I like it. Well, our LifeLens, Jackie, tell our listeners a reminder about this awesome LifeLens segment that we have.
Okay, so starting this year, we decided to add in this segment at the end of every podcast called the LifeLens, which is like a thing or a hack or some either, you know, anything that is making your life easier or happier or something that you just, you know, when we ask this question to listeners, like what is something that's making your life happier, something that's making your life easier. So this is the LifeLens that we're talking about. So let's start with our guest, Ada. Tell us something that is making your life easier or happier, something that you feel like has benefited you.
I am making my life easier and happier by saying no to things that I don't want to do. So that includes going to dinner with people or plans with people. If it's not something that I want to do, I used to say yes. Now I say no. And I get to come home and do the things that I want to do.
Yes. Your time is so valuable. Oh my gosh. Boundaries. Yes, Jocelyn. That is it. Honestly, I have found that as I've gotten older, is my time is my most valuable resource. And like, giving it up, it has to be a good reason. It has to be something that I really want to do. Great advice. Ada, with all the great advice tonight. Amazing.
That's a really good LifeLens. Jackie, do you have a LifeLens?
Okay, my LifeLens is, first of all, Jocelyn, we're going to come up with 12 of these, okay, because we're doing this podcast. I don't know if you know this, but okay. So my LifeLens is, they're going to get lamer and lamer as these podcasts go on throughout the year, I can already tell. I got everyone in my office an embroidered L.L. Bean fleece zip up. Okay, I'm wearing it as we speak. This is great. I love this addition because number one, everybody, sometimes you just need a fleece to wear a fleece to work. And like, I don't always want to wear professional clothing. And so I actually have the Figs professional pant line. Okay. So I'll wear that and I'll wear my black fleece and I still look put together, but I'm quite cozy. And then I think my staff really appreciates it too, because we all still look like a team and like kind of put together, but we're in a cozy place. So this has been my like lovely thing. I actually got this last year, but it's been great.
It looks really sharp. I know when you like debuted it on Instagram, I think I had instantly messaged you and was like, I need details, because it still looks professional in like a cozy kind of way. And of course your brand is there. So yeah, I'm a big fan. I need to get them from our office.
The only thing is like, I was like, I got to make sure to tell my staff, like, if you're wearing this, you're representing my practice. So don't do anything crazy on the tee. Like, everybody be respectful and like, you know what I mean? Everybody be cool if you're wearing this fleece.
That's true. It reminds me of like my old sorority days, that if you were wearing letters, you couldn't like have a beverage that wasn't in a cup. Like you couldn't drink out of a bottle, or you know, like there were all these rules that came when you were wearing it. But it's true. You're an extension of the brand. You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
That's good. That's
okay. Jocelyn, what's yours? What do you got?
So my life lens is a salad bowl, which I know sounds so boring, but it's by the brand Swell, S-W-E-L-L. And I think they make like water bottles and whatnot. So I do like salads and I like eating them for lunch when I do get a lunch, because they're not heavy and I don't leave feeling like blah, you know, like when you're trying to like keep the flow going. So this salad bowl, it's stainless steel because I'm paranoid of like microplastics. It's like 64 ounces. It's like a big bowl, but then it has a tray that you can sit on top of it to like separate things so that your lettuce doesn't get soggy. And it has a little cup for like dressing. And then I like that you can just shake it, right? So you don't have to try to like mix it up where like leaves are falling outside of it. So it's just really easy and it's machine, you know, put it in the dishwasher, throw it in the fridge, comes in fun colors. So the Swell salad bowl has been a game changer for my lunch, and that's my life lens.
That's really good. I'm Googling it right now. It's $40 on Amazon. It does look nice. It actually resembles a little bit some of these Porter. Have you seen those, the Tupperware Porter?
Is that what's called? I'm going to have to look at it. I don't know.
God, that might be wrong, but I think that's what it's called. Anyway, Swell. Okay. This is great. Way to go, Jocelyn. No, this is a good one.
Change your lunch game.
It'll change your life, everybody.
Well, thank you, Dr. No, for being with us here today. Definitely, ever all the listeners, go check her out. Look at her practice, No Eyes Left Behind in Arkansas. She's doing amazing things. Thank you for sharing your lessons learned along the way for dry eye entrepreneurship. We really appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Ada.